Welcome to TP Talks, PwC's Global Transfer Pricing podcast series. My name is Ben Brewer, and we are recording this podcast at PwC's Global Transfer Pricing Conference in Toronto. Today's topic will be on navigating transfer pricing challenges in Asia with a focus on India and China. I'm joined by Sanjay Tolia, who is PwC's Transfer Pricing Leader for Asia Pacific and India, and a partner in the PwC Mumbai office. Jeff Yuan, a partner in the PwC Shanghai office and the transfer pricing country leader for China and Hong Kong, and Stephen Tseng, who leads PwC's Asia Business Center and is a partner in the PwC New York office.
Sanjay, putting your Asia Pacific transfer pricing leader hat on, can you give us a quick overview of the transfer pricing environment in Asia before we take a deeper dive into China and India?
Sure, Stephen. So Asia, most of the countries have embraced the BEPS action plans, especially the CBCR. Very interestingly, Singapore has become a BEPS associate and Hong Kong is planning to become one. Some countries like Australia are going one step ahead in terms of the transparency rules. And I see with the data availability in the hands of the tax authorities, the level of audits and the quality of the audits is likely to change. And I expect a different environment in terms of risk-based assessments and more deeper audits for specific industries. And probably that will pave the path for more APAs and more maps for achieving certainty. So that's what I see coming in Asia.
Yeah, thank you, Sanjay. And again, this is audit is obviously a big concern for multinationals. In fact, Jeff, I noticed from the United Nations Practical Manual on Transfer Pricing for Development Countries, there's a specific China country practice chapter, which is giving us very rare insights into the inner workings of the Chinese approach towards audits. And in fact, I found some statistics that are quite alarming. It seems like there are over 800,000 tax officials in China. Not only that, they're spread over 67 provincial, close to 700 municipal, and close to 90,000 county level bureaus. So, and not only that, there's an 8-time increase in tax revenue already collected from transfer pricing audit from 2006 to 2010. And then there's a 14-time increase in average assessment per case comparing 2006 to 2015 statistics. So if I'm a multinational and I have 25 subsidiaries that's spreading all across China in different counties, different cities, how do I ensure consistency in the interpretation or implementation of the latest regulations?
Sure, Stephen. Actually, this UN manual basically just reiterate the most of messages ACT has been trying to deliver for the last few years, and also our observation on the ground in terms of the resources they have and enforcement we're seeing on the ground. So, you know, in terms of people, numbers really haven't changed. But it, as you can see, China is trying to standardize the consistency and making sure the standardization applies to the enforcement of the law and also relevant TP regulation. So that's what government is doing. To answer your question, what the MNC needs to do to basically deal with that, such an environment, I think we're, you know, as our client and our taxpayers in China, we need to further ensure the consistency across, you know, all the documents that we need to prepare and submit to the tax authority, for example, the master file and local file and the related party form. So that it needs to be making sure that with all your multiple subsidiaries in China, that numbers, messages all needs to be across consistently as well.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And Sanjay, over to you about India. Obviously, this is a growing territory where a lot of the multinationals are expanding footprints. Do you see the same trend?
So India has come a long way from over the last 4 years in terms of making developments in terms of the changing the transfer pricing law, providing more insights. So just to give you an examples of the key developments, one has been that India has introduced now use of multiple year data on an unconditional basis. India has introduced an arm's length range which is based on 35th to 65th percentile if you have six or more comparables. There has been a safe harbor which has been introduced for captive service providers from India. On an ongoing basis, India continues to issue circulars providing guidance on specific transfer pricing matters. And last year, we had risk-based assessments which have been introduced, which means that not all the companies are going to get audited, and it's done on a very, very selective basis. So I think it's been a long way, and there's a great development which is happening in the area of closing maps with various countries and closing APs, and I'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, Sanjay, that's definitely great news, because in the era of increasing uncertainty, advanced pricing agreements are definitely a good solution for multinationals to pursue. Jeff, I understand that China introduced APA quite early on and have so far concluded 51 bilateral APAs. I also heard earlier that despite of India starting its APA program much later, it has over 100 APA already. So is China not keeping up?
Well, I think, you know, with all the numbers you're saying about the local tax officials China have, they do struggle at the SAT level in terms of the people that are processing the APA cases. So we have seen probably a bit of a challenge the SAT is facing in terms of getting those APA cases processed and approved. Nonetheless, I think it actually just today, October 18th, SAT issued a new public note 64, which is focusing on the APA regulation a few hours ago. And what it does is it's focusing on further standardization and making sure the consistency of the APA application. And also we're seeing the APA, the tax authority is trying to take more control of approve the potential APA cases. So hopefully that will expedite the speed on the application of the APA cases.
Great, and Sanjay, how about your insights on India?
I'm sure India is going to pick up something from China and learn from various other countries, but at this point of time, the way the APA regime works, you could get an APA or you can get uncertainty for almost 9 years. So you can get an APA for 5 years and you can roll back 4 years. So you have a 9 year certainty. It's a very small team and there are 750 plus applications which are being filed. As of today, 103 APAs have been signed, of which three are bilateral with Japan and UK, and the rest of them are unilateral. At this stage, we are seeing that most of the APAs are based on the cost plus markups for captive service providers, because I think that's the focus of the Indian government, to sign as many APAs as possible. But more complex APAs we see coming in times to come. I'll just share one interesting insight on how the government has been actually trying to find a solution. So all of us would agree that intra-group services is one of the most complicated transaction to resolve, because benefit test is a difficult one and it's quite subjective. What India has done is that it is signing APAs for intra-group services, which means that you're giving APA for future 5 years, where the benefit test will always be tested in future. But still, there are two principles which have been followed in signing of APAs. One, what are the minimum documentation requirements which will be provided at the time of compliance? And two, subject to the acceptability by the taxpayer, agree a percentage of sales as a ceiling on the total management fee which will be paid in the future years. So that's a more practical way of dealing with this problem. So I think it's been a good journey in terms of APA. Coming to MAP, the India has resolved almost 80 cases with India with the US, and this is again around the captive service providers, and it's probably going to sign many more or conclude many more maps in time to come.
Great. And then Jeff, maybe last question. Looking forward, what are some of the critical developments you're expecting to see?
I think after the documentation requirement and information disclosure requirement, which is Public Note 42, and this APA public note relevant, I think we're going to see, you know, following the logic of what ACT has been putting out at the UN manual, we're going to see a standardization process. Procedures probably going to be issued by the ACT, as we will expect that you know, ACT will focus more to ensure the consistency and the standardization in terms of applying and local interpretation of the relevant transfer pricing regulations.
So Sanjay, how about some critical developments from an India perspective?
So I think one area which remains as a big question is the area of intangibles. So let me talk about that. Probably three points come to my mind. One is the revenue always has a challenge in terms of what should be the right royalty rate for trademarks or for technology. Two, there has been a big issue around marketing intangibles and around the legal and the economic ownership of marketing intangibles, and how do you really compensate for that. And the third one has been around the contract R&D in India, whether the DEMPE functions are in India or outside India. And I see India making a great effort in terms of trying to embrace principles which have been enshrined in the Action Plan 8-10. India has gone on record to say that India will follow the BEPS Action Plan. And I see that if more guidance around this specific areas are provided by the government in terms of clear articulation of what they expect on all of these areas, I think this will go a long way in providing guidance to the taxpayers in how do you create documentation, or how do you set your pricing policies around these specific intangible issues. And it also will provide clear guidance in terms of resolving maps and signing of APAs in future around these particular issues.
Yeah, so Sanjay and Jeff, thanks for sharing your insight. And I have one more question. It's more a advice that you can give to multinationals operating in China and India. What are the best practices given the environment that you just shared?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I think there are three points coming to my mind. First of all, given ACT's statement on lack of reliable comparables, certainly it's going to bring out the value chain analysis and location saving analysis, that which they pointed out in Public Note 42. I think from a local practice point of view, we really need to work with our people and our clients to focus on what can we provide the practical solutions in terms of information disclosure and adding on the analysis that we already have to make sure that it complies with the tax authority's requirement. And second point I wanted to make is about the data collection. ACT went on in lands about information collections. And I think as a taxpayer, we really need to be careful about the information that we need to collect, and also be mindful of how extensive these information and data will be, and how did that compare with the other players in the same similar industry. So these are the things, and it's going to be in mind of ACT when they're reviewing our data. And the third is probably also very important, is that about the APAs. As we're standardizing this APA process, and you see the tax authority taking more control of that, we hope that to give us a good opportunity to be able to help our clients to secure the positions and give certainties through the APA process.
Sanjay?
I totally agree with Jeff, and just want to supplement by saying that business and tax teams will have to become one in terms of preparing documentation in future. And obviously one should have a global policy, but with a local flavor, because that's what's the requirement of the local revenue authorities. And in view of the challenges which data could create in terms of interpretation or in terms of the way the local authorities want to implement them, I think that APA is a way to go. And especially in India, when you have the success stories of 100 plus, one should take advantage of that. Thank you.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed this podcast on navigating transfer pricing challenges in Asia with a focus on China and India. If you have further questions, please feel free to reach out to any one of us. Our contact information, it's on the website.